going to hold on for just a minute. A call to persevere. Six verses. They're steep, folks. They are steep. Bible says, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, that means sisters. Can I get a witness on that, ladies? Amen. Ladies, can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
When I say, can I get a witness, that means that you say, amen. Can I get a witness on that, ladies?
Amen.
Oh, that's better. Thank you very much. Therefore, brothers, can I get a witness on that, brothers?
Amen.
There. See now? See, ladies? All right. I know some of you ladies jumped in on that one. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. Have you found God to be faithful today?
Yes.
You guys are slow today. All right, I'm going to give you more opportunities to catch up. Let me find out where I was. Who was that? Was that you, Martin?
No, it was a preliminary.
Oh, there you go. All right, I appreciate that, Jeff. Very good. All right. Can I get another one there, Jeff? Thank you very much, Jeff. All right. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, knowing that you are mighty, knowing that you are awesome in this place, knowing, Lord, that you can right wrongs, Lord, knowing that you can equip us, Lord, to overcome the challenges in our lives, Lord, knowing, Lord, that you call us to greatness, Lord, to greatness in you, greatness in your power, greatness in your spirit, Lord, that you do not call us to do small things, but you call us to do hard things, Lord. And as we focus on doing hard things, as we focus on becoming better in our existence, Lord, that we open our hearts and our minds to you, Lord, that you would speak to us. And I pray, Lord, that you speak to us this morning, Lord. Lord, we give you permission to come in. You want to hear from the Lord this morning? You want the Lord to speak right to your heart? Say, Lord, speak to me this morning, Lord. And I said in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Next Saturday is June 18th. It might not mean anything to you, but to me, I will turn 50 years old. Now, yes, and Aaron was talking about the pains of life. I have those things. And one of the blessings about having a birthday is Black Angus. Black Angus sends me a coupon for a free steak dinner. You can get one too. You sign up for like the Black Angus Club. I don't know what it is. And you put your birthday in there and they send you, you know, you got to buy a steak dinner to go along with it forever you're with. But it's a good deal. And so me and Lisa, we like to go to Black Angus and we'll probably go there. And the last time I went there, they had this new thing, maybe not new to you, but new to me. And they had this thing called a wedge salad. All right? And what it is you just take a head of lettuce. It's not real complicated. You can make this at home, ladies. Men, you can make this at home. All you got to do is take a section, make a quarter, maybe a little bit less, of a head of iceberg lettuce, crumble some bacon bits on it. And what else they got there? Maybe a little bit of cheese or something. Put some blue cheese dressing on it, and you have got a wedge salad. Doesn't that sound good?
Yes.
Doesn't that sound good?
Yes.
Doesn't that sound easy? Amen? All right, today we're going to be talking about heavenly salad. Heavenly salad is not so easy. And roll with me on this, okay? Because not just iceberg lettuce, heavenly salad has four types of lettuce, okay? Don't throw anything at me, okay? Let us draw near. Let us hold on, let us consider, and let us not give up. That's pretty bad, huh? Yeah. Going, that's a long way to go to get there, Pastor. Well, God wants us. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold on. Let us be involved with God in our lives. Amen? Let us draw near to God. Let us be involved with one another in our lives. God has an improvement plan for us. And He gives us all these let us's, and it is a challenging thing to do. And you need to have courage to move through these things. You need to have confidence to move through these challenges that our author gives us today. He said, we need to have courage to change. Many of us are happy the way we are. Many of us find it too challenging to make a change. But the Lord wants us to have confidence. Confidence to hear from Him. Confidence to hear from one another about the change that we need to make in our lives and then move into that change. Now, why is it such a challenge to us? Because for many of us, our confidence is in ourselves. And when somebody, if my confidence is in me and somebody tells me that I'm not good enough, well, that shakes me to my core. Amen? And I want to resist that message. Now, if my confidence is in Christ and I hear that message that I need to change, I am encouraged to become more like Jesus. Amen? And so it takes confidence in Christ to hear a message of change. Because if your confidence is in you, you'll never make it. You'll be like that guy. Talk about, let us not forsake the gathering of the brethren, the gathering together. I don't think that guy's on his way to church. Maybe he is. I could be wrong. Title today, Confidence for Correction. And today we're going to take a look at our confidence. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Point number one, God's people. And he's writing this letter. He says, therefore. He starts off with a great big therefore. And he's writing to God's people. And you sit here today and you want to know the Lord. You have accepted him as your Lord and Savior. You are one of God's people. And God's people are looking for change. God's people want to become more like Christ. Amen? Are you tracking with me? All right. So we start off with, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence. Everybody say confidence, if you would. Confidence. Confidence. To enter the most holy place. Now, I'm going to digress for just a second, even though we're a little bit long. The Jews did not have confidence to enter into the most holy place. And I'm going to tell you why. How many of you want to know why? Oh, very good. Okay. All right. Because if you take a look at Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, it goes back to the sons of Aaron. Nadab and Abihu. Don't name your children that. They will not be happy if you name them that. But they went into the tabernacle, the big tent that they used to go through to worship the Lord with, and they offered unauthorized incense to the Lord. They went into the holy place, the most holy place is behind the curtain, right? And they're in there doing this stuff. Unauthorized. They weren't supposed to go in there and do that. And the Bible tells us that fire came out from the presence of God, came from the most holy place, and consumed them. Now, does that sound like a lot of fire? I mean, that's a lot of fire. Didn't cook them, didn't kill them, consumed them. Now, can you get that just kind of visual in your mind, right? And so, as time went on, only one person would go into the most holy place, and that was the high priest. And he would go on one day a year, Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. And when he went in, he did not go in and hang out with the Lord. He did not go in with confidence. He went in with bells on his cloak, on the tunic that he wore, so that they could hear him moving around. And he went in with a rope tied around his ankle, just in case the Lord struck him dead, like he did with Nadab and Abihu, Nobody have to go in there into the danger zone. They could just slide him out by the rope. Can I get a witness on that? So there was no confidence that the Jews had. There was fear. But our author says, you guys should have confidence as you enter into the most holy place. Does that help? Does that help? He says, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, that sentence continues on. We get to the next point. It says, we have our confidence in Jesus. We have our confidence in Jesus. Part of that confidence is in the destination. We have confidence in the destination, confidence in the pathway, and confidence in who is waiting. The destination is the most holy place. And we talk about the very presence of God, the throne room of God. The Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. So our confidence comes not in us, but on him. And it comes, our confidence is where we are headed. Second thing, confidence in the pathway. It is the blood of Jesus that opens the way into. Now, this is a heavenly spot, okay? This is the presence of God, the throne room of God in heaven. Jesus opens the way for us to enter into the presence of God because of the blood that he sacrificed on the cross on Calvary 2,000 years ago. And because of that, see, Nadab and Abihu did bad stuff down here and were struck dead. But we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Can I get a witness on that? And so as we come into the very throne room of God, we have nothing to fear. Amen? We are going to hear from the Lord. We're going to hear from Jesus. And he is, we have confidence in who's waiting for us, our great high priest, Jesus our Lord, who ministers to us. And he cleanses us. That's pretty good, isn't it? Amen. All right. Second part of that. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. Everybody say sincere, if you would. Sincere. With a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. And we can all use some cleaning. We can all use some cleaning. Anybody here today use a little cleaning? Amen. God's people should have a desire to get clean. God's provided a mechanism for that cleansing. Can I be so bold? There's like a divine washing machine up there. God wants us to be clean. It is like a spiritual washing machine. Now, God wants us to be really clean. So you don't have to worry about overloading heaven with your soil or your guilt. The Lord will cleanse you. And see, and you can have confidence in him that whatever you have got going on, God can deal with. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. What you have got going on in your life will not overwhelm you. What is overwhelming me right now, Mr. Rocky, though, is Mr. Juan back there. Could you relocate him for me, please? Thank you. Mr. Rocky kind of heading up our hospitality department. A little round of applause for Mr. Rocky. I appreciate you so much, sir. Hallelujah. Former Marine helps with hospitality. Hallelujah. All right, question for you today. Why are you here? Do you want to get clean? Do you want to get right? See, he says, you come in here with a sincere heart. And he's saying, let's be real. So you can come in here and you can be playing a game. You can approach God and you can be playing a game. Or you can come near to him and you can want to be real and you can want to be changed. Now, there are changes that are available in the Lord. And he says, I got this? Yes. Oops, sorry. He says that you can have your mind cleansed. Your mind sprinkled. Now, I came to the Lord 20 years ago, and my mind was polluted. I had drugs and just this terrible lifestyle. And I came to the Lord, And I had all the memories from my life stored in my head. Anybody relate to that?
Yes.
You know, and this stuff would come back, and I would have to go to the Lord, and He would cleanse my mind. And I would come to Him, and He would just wash images, just pictures from my brain. And sometimes I would have to come every minute. There was like a six-month period in which I would just... I and the Lord, I was coming to the Lord, and I was scrubbing my brain. Now, after about 6 months, I mean, it was like all day, every day, man. It was like total focus for 6 months. And then my mind began to get clear. Now, because I had so much gook built up in there. You know, it was just kind of washing. Now, today, 20 years later, old stuff will still pop out. I still got to get cleansed. Sometimes new stuff pops in. It's like, whoa. Man, how'd that get in there? I'll tell you what, you just have stuff pop in walking around our culture, amen? It's like, whoa, no. And you got to scrub that out, man, or it'll just kind of get in there and fester and get all ugly. Also says that you can have your body cleaned. Now, when I came to the Lord, my mind was messed up. My body was polluted as well. You know, I had to kind of detox. I started exercises. I started working out. I started getting my body back right. Thomas can tell you, I got a brand new hip put in 2 weeks ago. It's finally all working pretty good. Amen?
Amen.
He's smiling. You're on, come on up here, bro. This is not announced here, by the way. Now, you were on Oxycontin for how long?
Long time.
5 years? 2 years?
At least three.
3 years, every day, all day, on morphine-based pain medicine. How much pain meds are you taking today?
None.
Zero. Zero. Amen. Oh, wait. There's nothing in here. What's up?
No cigarettes.
No cigarettes. For how long? For how long?
5 days. Man.
5 days clean. Hey, you can lift this man up. Lift this man up in prayer. Amen. But see, we come to the Lord, right? And you come near, He will wash your mind. He will wash your body. But you got to want to have it happen. So you come in here today. Do you want to be real?
Yes.
Or do you want to play a game? You're here for two reasons. I hope it's being real. All right. Point number two. We are moving to a higher standard. Amen? You know, you're moving to a higher. How many of you want to move to a higher standard? That means. Wait a minute. All right, let's try that again. How many of you want to move to a higher standard? Oh, there we go. All right, I'm liking that. You know what that means? It means that the standard you are at right now is not high enough. Now, it's probably good. The standard that I'm at is a whole lot better than it was 20 years ago. But I tell you what, there's still a higher standard that I can be at tomorrow. Amen? All right. He says, let us, another one of those lettuces, okay? Let us hold, I think it's the first one, let us hold unswervingly. Think about that word, unswervingly. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Now, hold on, why? Hold on because things are going to get tough. I tell you what, you don't have to hold on when things are easy. Amen? You can coast when things are easy. You're going to have to hold on when things get tough. Hard, and things will get hard. Jesus says the way to heaven is narrow, right? And there's a few people on it. I looked around. Now, that's a narrow road. You know what? I don't like driving on roads like that. Those are the kind of roads that freak me out, man.
Yeah.
Just kind of cliff right there. You know what? Now, you're driving on that road. Are you going to be swerving? Or are you going to be unswervingly driving down that thing, right? Why? Because there's danger over the edge. Check that out. I'll tell you what. Are you holding on when you drive that? Yeah. Man. That is an old picture. You know, you can look at that picture for a while. Man, that's kind of messed up. Things are going to get tough. You read further down in chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 32, speaks of standing our ground in the face of great suffering. He talks further, verse 33 says, because he goes on to describe public insult for being a Christian. Persecution, that's attack. He talks about confiscation of property. Oh, you're a Christian? Let me take your car. I got to think attendance would go down. And he talks about going to prison for your faith. There are people that do that. And he says, in all of this, hold on because God is faithful. He's not going to let you down. He says, hold on to your hope. And we have a blessed hope. The Bible talks about it in Titus. We, all of us, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, you've asked Him to be your Lord and Savior, you are part of we. We wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because He could come back and get you today. And if He did, Beltas, are you ready for that?
I'm ready.
I'll tell you what, it would be an upgrade. Can I get a witness on that? Jesus is faithful. He said He's coming back for us. So hold on. I mean, it's like water skin, you know? It's like you're holding on to the trust that we got, and you're just moving through all this crud and sin and pollution around us. He's saying, don't let go, man. Don't fall off the edge. Hold on, because it's going to be good at the end. Amen? Amen. All right, point B. B, there we go. We have a responsibility to one another. You got to want that person next to you to make it through as well. That little baby. Is that little baby, Glenn's little baby back there? Look at that mama. Hold on to that. You can't see her. How old's that baby, Glenn?
11 months.
11 months. Just crashed on his mama's shoulder. Her mama's shoulder. And you know that mama wants that little baby to make it through. Amen? All the moms said, oh, yeah. But you got to want that person sitting next to you. Maybe that person next to you, you don't even like. We got to be involved in one another's lives. Here's some more of this lettuce. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. There's a lot of lettuce there. Spur one another on. That is a spur, okay? And what you do is you spur a horse to get it to move. Now, I got a close-up of a spur. That's a spur. Now, how many of you guys think that's going to feel good? No. And if you have seen, and I've never used spurs on a horse, but I've ridden with guys that have. When you put a spur to a horse, that horse moves, okay? Why? Because being spurred is not an enjoyable act. And in fact, the word here means to irritate or to exasperate. And so we are to irritate one another and exasperate one another to love and to good deeds. What we want to do is we want to see movement from bad deeds to good deeds. We want to see move. Can I get a witness, please? Jeff, can I get a witness on that? A little bit louder, please.
Amen.
Thank you very much. We want to see movement from lesser love to greater love. Amen? We want to see movement from what you got to something that is better right now. And we are to spur one another onto that. And that means that you will have to be involved in that person's life next to you. And it might not always be the most pleasant interaction. Can I get a witness on that? Sometimes it's irritable or irritating or exasperating. But no one ever said the Christian life was a bed of roses. Amen? We need to consider one another. I told Juan, he made the sermon today. Juan's downstairs in the Spanish class. But I was here doing some stuff. We had a prayer meeting, which was fabulous. Oh, fabulous. It was fabulous, guys. If you were not here, you need to come. Linda, first prayer meeting, right? Was it fabulous? Off the hook? Amen. Sandra. Where'd Sandra go? Oh, she's doing something. Oh, yeah, but she got class. She hadn't been coming. She was blown away in that prayer meeting. Back to this. I was going to talk about, So anyway, I got membership meeting, all this stuff going on, and I drove. I didn't have any change. Drove up to the corner store, popped in there, got a Coke, dropped my car, drove back, and Juan comes walking out and goes, "Hey, your front tire's flat." And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? I just rotated my tires like 3 days ago. I was so proud of myself." And I go, "Dude, it's like flat. It's like 3 minutes to four. I got a meeting at four. I'm looking at it. It's getting flatter." So I drive right up here to the tire shop. And the guy looks at it, goes, "Let me take a look," throws it in the tank, goes, "Oh, someone just cut your tire." I mean, I walked in that store. I was in there for 30 seconds. Somebody cut my tire. He slapped a new tire on that thing, and I made it back down here before the guy showed up for the meeting. Why? Because Juan was watching out for me. Saying, you got a messed up tire. Who's got your back? And whose back do you have? And who are you irritating on toward a better existence? Who are you exasperating on, and who is irritating you, and do you receive it? You think, quit irritating me. Who made you the Lord of irritation? Right here, man. We are to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Amen? One thing around here, it says, one of our slogans, we develop people. Would you say that with me? We develop people. It does not say I develop people. It is not my job to develop you. It is our job to develop us. You tracking with me? See, this is supposed to be a self-corrective place. And it doesn't have to be, "Oh, Pastor Bob, better notice this. Oh, Pastor Bob, better notice. Oh, Pastor." No, it's like, hey, you see it? Lord gave you eyes to see. It's time for you to jump in and start spurring somebody on toward good works. Start spurring somebody on toward love. Start spurring somebody on to a more godly life. Well, that was weak. Where were you on that, Jeff? He's just blown away. Okay. And then he says, let us not stop meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. What do you think that means? It means don't stop coming to church. These guys were having their property confiscated. These guys were going to prison. These guys were getting persecuted. These guys were getting insulted. You might say, "Oh man, I'm not going to church. I'm going to take my car, cut my tire, mess with me. I'll just stay home." But we've got great excuses like, "I got to do laundry. Chargers are playing on the East Coast. Got to stay home." I don't know where that would line up toward getting your property confiscated. Am I talking to anybody here today, by the way? Now here's the other thing. Hard things, good things happen at church. Like prayer happened at church last night. That was great. But hard things happen at church. Guess what? We got some folks coming in here that don't got all the edges smoothed off yet. Can I get a witness? Like, "Yeah, look at this guy. Look in a mirror, man. You got some edges too." And the Lord puts that person with edges right next to you, so you rub each other flat, smooth each other out. And you know what? Sometimes you run into a little challenge at church, and you say, "I'm not having that." And you just move on down the road. Why? Because you know how to deal with drama. One of the things that we learn how to interact with God, and we learn how to interact with one another. And when we do that, we get better. We become better humans. Amen? So yeah, don't stop coming to church, even if somebody's bugging you. Work it out. We got some people around here that will help you work it out. Can I get a witness on that? Have you learned how? How many of you have learned how to work some things out you didn't know how to work out before? Amen. We got some pros at working things out now. We'll have you hooked up. Are we good? Are we okay? Yeah. Are we good? Come on now. Yeah. Thank you. All right. I just want to make sure you're awake. All right. Moving on to, spur one another on. Okay. There will be judgment on the day. I got that in caps there. It's not just any day. The day. It says, if we deliberately keep on sinning, let me go back in right here. All the more as you see the day approaching. All right? So the day is coming near. The day is coming right at us. Okay? Let's get back to where we're at. If we deliberately keep on sinning, do you know what that is? Deliberate sin? Oh, I know I'm doing wrong, but I'm going to keep on doing it. Yeah. Oh, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. Amazingly, the Lord knows about it too. And he says, if you deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. Now, is that kind of scary?
Yeah.
It says, only a fearful expectation of judgment and a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Do you remember who got consumed by fire? Nadab and Abihu. Consumed. Amazingly, they use the same word. There's many that should live in fear, folks. I hope it's not you. I hope you're feeling, whoo! Sandra was talking about there was a murder up the street from her Thursday, Friday night. And the cops came to her house. And Gordo said, hey, the police are here. And she went, oh! And then she went, I'm clean.
No, I was thinking, don't have to divorce my man. No, that's over with. Like, I forgot. Yeah, that was fine.
Yeah, see, it's like, hey, man, I mean, every time, everywhere I used to drive, man, you'd have open container. I mean, it's like every time. Now, man, it's like, hey, you get saved, and you leave that stuff behind, that deliberate sin behind, and the police come behind you and just look at them. I'm doing the speed limit. I'm good. I know you're not looking at me. You just go right on by. It's confidence. Amen? All right. We are on A. There are many that should live in fear. Why? Because there are those who are living in deliberate sin. I know what that is, man. I was a deliberate sinner. I was looking for ways to sin for years and years and years. Then I met Jesus. And Jesus gave me a mechanism to clean up. That he would clean me up and transform me. Now, he says, he talks about the sacrifice for sins. And he talks about for you to deal with your sins, you need to be aware of the truth, the absolute truth that is in the Bible. Amen? When you come to know that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross and that you can participate in that and say, Lord, I'm so messed up. I need your help to cover me. What the Lord does, he's talking about judgment on the day, talking about judgment day. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you get protection, right? Other people are walking around getting, look at how happy that girl looks. Don't you just look happy? Why? She's got protection from what's coming at her. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. You get protection from what is coming after you. Then he says, if you go back to that life of deliberate sin, there is no more protection from sin. There is no more protection in your life. I'm wondering, why are these children not in their class? You walk back to that life of deliberate sin, that's what you'll look like. Angry at God. Mad at God. Once you know the truth, and I'm sorry to tell you, folks, because I know some of you guys are visiting today, you're getting a pretty good dose of truth today. You walk out of here, it's not going to be the same as before. You walk back out of here into a life of deliberate sin, you're going to have a problem. Your problem's not with me. Your problem's with God. You will stand with those people that are his enemies, and his enemies get consumed by fire. You say, well, I don't know that much about God, but I know he's not like that. He's a kind and loving and merciful God. Well, let's see. If I read this text, it says, there's only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire. Now, I don't know what you base your thinking on, but that's right out of his book. And I'm thinking it's probably a rather accurate description. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Some will have nothing to fear. You know what, folks? I think of Judgment Day, and I get excited. I think about Judgment Day, and I'm going, I'm hoping it is today. Man, I'll tell you what. I like being down here. I love being married to my wife. But it's hard, man. You guys are tough. Jesus came today. Whoo! I'd be happy. Why? Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. How many of you guys want a reward? How many of you guys want a puny reward? See, I'm looking for that rich reward. That rich reward in God. I don't know what it is, but if it's coming from the Lord, I want my part. Amen? Bible says you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. I don't know all of what he's promised, but I want everything that he has given. Rich rewards. When do we get it? After we persevere. After we hold on unswervingly. After we get to the end. You have to persevere until the end. And he says, you can make it through. Don't throw it all away because life is tough. How many of you know that life is tough? Amen. He says, I will empower you to get through the tough spots in your life. Hold on. Don't throw away your confidence. And he says, have confidence for correction. When you get that person that comes up next to you and speaks truth into your heart, truth into your life, check it out. I mean, somebody comes and just tears you up, you might need to be torn up. But get what do you call it when you go to two doctors, get a second opinion, there you go. Because it could be wrong. The Bible says test everything, hold on to the good. Confidence for correction. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold on to our confidence. Let us consider one another. We have a responsibility to one another. More than just your child, more than just your dad, more than just your spouse. You are part of this body of Christ. You have a responsibility to one another, the whole body. Let us not give up meeting together. Good things happen in church. Hard things happen in church. Why are you here today? Are you playing a game? Or do you want to get right? Because if you're playing a game, you can play. It's a scary game. It doesn't end well. If you want to be right, if you want to say, I'm so messed up. Hey, I can relate. I have been there. You look around, the majority of this church can relate. You come on Wednesday night, you got small group. We talk about relating, what it means to try to get right, what it means to receive correction and not have it crumble you. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Yes. And it doesn't matter so much what you've done as who he is and what he has done. And when you grab onto who he is, then you can let go of who you are and be transformed. Wow. Amen. Amen. Lisa's going to come up and play some music. We're going to pray. Come up and play some music. We're going to pray. Come up and play some music. We're going to pray. Come up and play some music. We're going to pray. Come up and play some music.